Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Anne-Marie Livingstone, and my responsibility in this project was to look at developments in education since the last Black demographic study was published in 2001. But given that I'm very passionate about these issues, I went a little bit further and had decided to, utilize a variety of qualitative methods to enrich our understanding of what are the experiences of black students in Montreal schools. It's an experience that we know very little about. We have tons of statistics, but an insufficient understanding of what are their experiences and understanding what they have to say about these statistics. And I want to say that, it's been an absolute privilege for me to work with Melissa and Janas and all the other students. And I think that what I would say, actually I don't have a lot of time, so I really need to speed this up, but I just want to say that it reinforced for me the incredible value, insight, intelligence of young people, and I think that given so often we paint black youth, they're dropping out, whatever, I think just reflects how unfair that picture is and how incredibly capable and dynamic and passionate they are. And so we look forward to sharing our report with you when it becomes available. But in addition to doing a youth project with my colleagues, I did some other interviews with government personnel, with focus group of teachers, interviews with principals, to get a sense of what have been some of the changes since 2001 in education policy and practice. So I really can only skim through the results today. We will make the report available to you at a later stage, and maybe we can even gather together again to talk more in depth about some of the education issues, because I think there's a lot of room for improvement. Some important new developments, but definitely a lot of room for improvement. So in the report, there's a description of what have been some of the key changes since 2001. So in terms of community programs, in terms of school-based initiatives, I'm not going to describe them here. I'll just jump right into, what are some of the key findings. It's this one, no? Okay, good idea. Stop. So essentially, what we've seen in the last several years, the major developments have been community-led. Largely by black community organizations that have, approached the government for funding to run things like summer schools and Saturday schools and after-school programs. So I'd say most of the initiatives have been located outside of schools, in community settings, and run by community organizations, not exclusively, but mainly from the black community. So only rarely has there been an attention to what goes on in classrooms and schools, which is the major limitation of, our actions to address the situation of black youth and other minority youth. And so as black students and their parents highlighted, things won't change until we actually change what goes on in schools. So I might highlight some of the strengths. I think, government has responded to requests for funding. There's been some important research done by McAndrew, researchers at University of Montreal, that has raised our understanding of the situation and some of the factors related to dropout. And there has been a growing partnership between schools and community organizations. And I think this is one of the most promising trends, given my colleagues will attest and the students will attest that the impact of these partnerships on students and on schools, I think, is very powerful. For example, it brings role models, black role models, into schools. It makes services that might otherwise not be available accessible, such as tutoring and homework help. It puts youth in contact with caring adults who can sometimes make a significant difference in their lives by providing encouragement. I was really struck by, you know, when the students talked about, community programs or, you know, what goes on in the school, they really focused on the value of relationships, supportive and caring relationships with adults, who push them to succeed, who encourage them. So that's key. And I think community organizations can sometimes help schools, to pay a little bit more attention to that, perhaps. So one of the limitations are is that we've seen little progress in policy. Teachers we spoke with knew little about the government's intercultural policy. They've had very little training on multicultural education or anti-racism education. The existing programs really reach only a relatively small segment of the population. So there is no system-wide commitment to changing the situation and reducing the dropout rate of black students. We see initiatives being led by individuals in schools and community organizations, but no broad strategy or commitment to effecting change. And that's necessary if we're going to allocate the necessary resources, direct people to the places where they're needed, and so on. I better speed through this. One other gap would be not enough action to strengthen the relationship between black parents and schools. There are some isolated initiatives, but that needs to also be a stronger focus of attention. And it's also not clear how existing programs actually address the kids who most need the support. The research by McAndrew and Ledin indicated that, some of the black students who have the highest dropout rate are those who have French as a second language, Creole-speaking youth, English-speaking youth. And it's not clear in these interventions what's being done for those students. There's been limited progress, some progress, but limited progress. And the broader context, is to blame for that. And key informants said that, unfortunately, there's been, very gradual response to the growing diversity of the Montreal student population in institutions, school boards, and schools, and that they claim that the situation of minority youth, black students, immigrant youth just does not currently perhaps represent a significant priority. I will have to skip along. How are we doing? You still haven't... Okay. Which is unfortunate, because you could be seeing some of the points while, that I'm skipping. Okay. One other important limitation to sort of background for policy and programs is that for dropout prevention, there's generally a focus on poverty as the cause. And while we know that poverty is a significant factor and often the most consistent factor related to dropout, it's not the only one, and may not even be the most significant if we're talking about black youth. Black youth come from many diverse backgrounds where language might be a barrier, where immigration might be a challenge and integration into Quebec society, where racism is an issue they might be grappling with and facing. A singular focus on poverty, I think, neglects other important factors associated with dropout. So I think we need to be able to attend to that complexity when we're talking about, how do we increase graduation rates, how do we prevent dropout. One other major issue is that, race and racial inequality is not an issue that is talked about considerably in the school context. We hear a lot more when we're in conversation with community organizations. But in schools, there's a reluctance to talk about the impact of race and racism on schools or even on outside. And we know it's a problem. I mean, we heard from certain school staff that black youth receive more disciplinary referrals than other youth. So this kind of these kinds of issues cannot be ignored. They need to be given a serious attention. So I'll just jump. How much time do I have? 5 minutes. Okay. So if you would go to slide. Okay, wait. I'll do it. Which is it? Is it this button?
No.
It's not working. Okay. All right. Okay. This, I think, is a very powerful quote from a principal who says, "Why do they drop out? Well, you know, they're expected to." Part of what we're seeing here is that, you know, part of prejudice is not having particularly high expectations of black students. So, you know, our research with black students highlighted that relationships in school are key, and that students respond positively to contexts where they feel cared for and supported and encouraged. Frequently, students said that they wanted to do their best not to disappoint their teacher or principal. Students who drop out, relate back to the issue of relationships, often cite a lack of social and academic support as their reason for doing so. And students facing social and economic barriers, you know, there may be a tendency sometimes to lower the bar. I heard that sometimes for kids who are facing significant, let's say, socioeconomic barriers. But we should be doing the reverse. We should be maintaining high expectations and a rigorous curriculum for kids, even you know, in situations of low income. As this teacher articulates, the student said that the teacher that year and the year before that, these people pushed me. They knew about my home. They knew about, this is actually a teacher quoting a student. They knew about my parents. And this student named other students who were in the same boat who were like, they didn't have teachers who knew, I guess, who understood them. And one teacher a year in the school, despite what was going on at home, was focusing his or her energy on the student instead of how well, you know, saying, well, it's a bad situation. There's not much I can do. So this learning, hearing this from students, from a student, really influenced this teacher to say, no, we can't settle with situations. We can, you know, try to change them for students. Policies and programs are not enough to change attitudes, behaviors, and practices. Here is how one school principal refers to, you know, some of the actions that they're taking in school. You need to make a conscious effort in your own school to make them, black students, belong, to make them feel that they're wanted and that they can participate in those activities. It's a form of affirmative action, I suppose. So professional development, an essential avenue for the future. What I must say, too, is that it's my focus groups with teachers. I was struck by the willingness, once the sort of ground was set, to talk about complex, difficult issues around race and racism and diversity. Of course, it may take time to get over, you know, some of the barriers or the resistance. But there is, it is possible to engage in, you know, constructive, positive conversations about some of the challenges we face in our schools. So here is a quote from a principal referring to how he found his teachers responding to some anti-racist training he was doing with them. And, yep, finally, I think that what's vital for us is for there to be a stronger recognition that there's actually a problem, you know, or an issue for us to be addressing in the institutional sphere, in the institutional sphere, so by school boards and schools, for example, and greater attention to, you know, the impact of racial inequality both in schools and society and what those consequences are for students. So I just maybe wanted to take one last quote, and this is a longtime educator from the black community. Says, "Je pense que lorsqu'on parle de la réussite des élèves noirs, il est extrêmement difficile, mais aussi extrêmement important, d'être capable d'essayer de juger le rôle de la discrimination dans la réussite d'un élève noir. J'ai aucune réponse. Je fais juste souligner que c'est quelque chose qui est probablement présent, mais qui est peut-être extrêmement difficile à juger." So. That's it.
Thank you, Anne-Marie.